We do not, and should not, work to a particular end in Christian Science. Let us learn to let God have His way. Let us learn that all of this world, all of the struggles, all of the strife, the failures, sorrows, disappointments, thwarted ambitions, blasted hopes, and the like, even in Christian Science, is because we work to definite material ends. We outline. What do we outline with? Mortal mind. We could not outline with anything else, could we? God's work is finished, complete, and perfect. Nothing can be new or novel to divine mind. Nothing needs to be done to complete His work. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. Nothing can be changed. Mind's ideas are complete. Mind is satisfied. Then what is it that needs the process of change? What is it that requires something different? What is it that, in reality, requires demonstration? Why, nothing but the human mind. When we sit down to work for things, for a change of conditions, for money, for supply, for this or for that, what is it that is telling us what we should work for? It is mortal mind. It is the human mind that says we are sick. It is the human mind that says we are out of our right place or position. It is the human mind that says we are unhappy, poverty-stricken, and the like. Then, is it not mortal mind that would outline for us what we should work for? Is it not mortal mind that would suggest to us that we work for a position, that we should work for money, that we should work for health, etc.? God, or good, knows nothing about these things. God, who is substance or supply, could know nothing about lack. God, or good, who is harmony or perfection, could know nothing of inharmony or sickness. God, who directs, guides, and cares for all His vast army of ideas, could know nothing about misplacement or displacement. So any attempt or effort on our part to work for money or place or position or health is simply an effort directed by the carnal mind and could not possibly accomplish anything. We do not have to work to demonstrate over twice two is five, if we know that twice two is four, do we? We do not have to work to demonstrate over sickness, if we are conscious only of God in thought. We do not have to work to demonstrate a position, when we are so consciously allied with God in thought that we cannot conceive man as out of place or position. We do not have to demonstrate over lack or limitation when we are expressing love in its abundance in thought. Constantly declare the truth about yourself. This constant declaration is instilling the God consciousness to the extent that this God consciousness becomes your existence. And to the extent that this God consciousness becomes a part of your existence, to that extent are the claims of matter done away with. Know that you are now the Son of God, that you are now dwelling in your perfect state of existence, that you are now in your right place, that you are now the full expression of the one and only intelligence, that you are now the expression of all substance, all life, all activity, all true existence. God is life. Therefore, God is mind. And therefore, to the extent that you express that mind in conscious thought, to that extent are you expressing and realizing life. A loving thought is life. Love is life, because love is God. Therefore, as often as you hold love in thought to the exclusion of all else, are you expressing and experiencing life eternal. Quote, "To know me is life eternal," close quote, says the Bible. And to know God is to think God. Therefore, you do not have to overcome sickness and death to demonstrate eternal life. You have to demonstrate God in consciousness to demonstrate life. Purity, kindness, love, truthfulness, honesty, spirituality in thought constitute life. Now, our world, our surroundings, our environment, everything we see, feel, taste, smell, or hear, as we have seen, are material because of our acceptance into consciousness of the carnal mind. Matter is carnal thought, and your and my material world is our individual expression of the carnal mind. If you and I refused this very instant to admit any carnal thought into consciousness, just at that instant would we cease to be conscious of a material body or a material world. But the human consciousness must be conscious of something. It must have an object or an objective, and therefore it could not cease its process of accepting the carnal mind without something to take its place. The human consciousness could not give up its belief in the carnal without something to take its place. And that is where the divine mind comes in as the Savior or Christ. When the human consciousness begins to replace its mortal thoughts with divine ideas, then it is that the Christ is coming to human consciousness, or the flesh, to destroy incarnate error. The mortal mind in our consciousness constitutes the flesh and all matter. And when the divine replaces or displaces the mortal, the flesh and matter are being overcome. Now, there is but one carnal mind, and that mind, as we know, exists outside human consciousness and is accepted into consciousness at will. Because there is but one mortal mind, and because the material universe is simply the expression of that one carnal mind, and because you and I accept into consciousness that one mind, you and I see the same material world. Your world is your world because it is an individual expression of your own thinking. My world is my world because it is an individual expression of my own thinking. But inasmuch as we both use the same carnal mind to create our material universe, we are conscious of the same material world. That is, while our worlds are each separate and distinctly individual, yet they are the same because they were created by the same mortal mind admitted to individual consciousness. Take, for example, this table before me. There are as many tables here as there are people here today. to illustrate the statement that each one of us creates his own material world. And this statement has brought out so many questions that I want you all to be clear on that point. Matter is simply a state of thought or mind. It is a state of the carnal mind. And to the extent that you and I admit the carnal mind into consciousness, are we conscious of matter? Now, I admit into my consciousness the carnal mind, and I become conscious of this table. This table would not be here, as far as I am concerned, unless I admitted to consciousness the one carnal mind. You admit into your consciousness the carnal mind, and you are conscious of this table. Now, the carnal mind which you admit into consciousness is the same carnal mind that I admit into consciousness, and for that reason, our concepts of this table, or our concept of a table, are the same. Nevertheless, if neither of us admitted into consciousness anything of the carnal mind, neither of us would be conscious of this table. And for that reason, each of us sees his own individual concept of table. Each of us creates his own individual concept of table with his own thinking. And therefore, there are as many tables here as there are mentalities to create them. Each of us creates his own universe of matter by his own thinking. And there are as many worlds as there are people. I hope I have made myself clear on this. It is important to be clear because it is a vital point in metaphysics. Only by understanding this are we able to see how completely individual is salvation. Only by a clear understanding of this can we see how to rule out of our lives the inharmony and misery of the carnal, and replace the carnal with the divine.